This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to tell a loyal long-term employee that the business has outgrown their current skills. A direct, compassionate process for one of leadership's hardest conversations. In short, telling a loyal employee the business has outgrown their skills is not a failure of management. It is the hardest form of respect. Done well, it preserves dignity, offers a real path forward, and protects the trust you have both built over years. Prepare the specific facts before you speak, so the conversation is grounded, not emotional. Name the gap clearly, separate from the person's character or loyalty. End with options, not a verdict, so the employee leaves with agency, not just shock. Definition: a difficult conversation employee situation involves addressing a sensitive workplace issue, such as a skills gap, directly with a staff member. It requires honesty about what has changed, compassion for the person's experience, and a clear path forward that respects both the individual and the business. I watched a manager lose one of his best people last year. Not to redundancy. Not to a performance process. He lost her because he waited 2 years too long to have an honest conversation about the gap between what she could do and what the business now needed. By the time he finally sat down with her, she felt ambushed. The trust was already broken. She resigned within a week. That difficult conversation employee moment was not the problem. The avoidance was. This kind of situation is genuinely hard because the person sitting across from you has earned you respect. They have shown up, worked hard, and given years of their life to the organization. Telling them the ground has shifted beneath their feet feels like a betrayal of that loyalty. So leaders delay, hint, and hope the situation resolves itself. It never does. The gap widens, performance suffers, and eventually the conversation becomes a crisis instead of a discussion. What follows is the process I have used and refined over many years. It will not make this easy. Nothing makes it easy. But it will make it honest, humane, and useful to both of you. What has to be true before you sit down? A difficult conversation with a long-term employee is not a meeting you can improvise. If you walk in unprepared, you will either soften the message into meaninglessness or blurt something clumsy that cannot be unsaid. Neither serves anyone. Three things need to be in place first. You need specific evidence, not a feeling. You must be able to name the exact skills or capabilities the role now demands that the employee currently does not have. Things have changed is not evidence. The new platform requires advanced data analysis, and Sarah has flagged that she is not comfortable working at that level is evidence. Write it down before you speak. You need to know what options exist. This conversation cannot be a verdict with no appeal. Before you sit down, know what genuine paths are available: retraining, a restructured role, a supported transition to a different position, or a managed exit with dignity. If you can't offer at least one real option, you are not ready. You need to be settled in yourself. If you're carrying guilt, defensiveness, or frustration into the room, the employee will feel it, and the conversation will drift. Take the time to be clear on your purpose. You're having this conversation because you respect this person, not despite it. Connecting to that intention before you speak makes an enormous difference to how it lands. The six-step process for the conversation itself. Step 1. Set the stage honestly at the start. Do not open with small talk. It creates false warmth and makes the shift to a serious topic feel like a trap. Instead, name the purpose of the meeting directly and with care. I want to talk with you about something important, and I want to give it the respect it deserves. This is not an easy conversation, but it is one I owe you. That kind of opening does three things. It signals that what follows is significant. It shows respect for the person, and it prevents the disorientation of a conversation that appears to be routine, and then suddenly is not. Choose a private space, a closed door, and enough uninterrupted time, at least 45 minutes. Anything less communicates that the topic is not worth your full attention. Step 2. Acknowledge the history before naming the gap. Long-term employees carry a deep investment in their identity at work. Before you name a gap, you must make clear that their history is real and valued, and that this conversation is not a rewriting of it. I want to start by saying directly what you have built here over the past 12 years is not in question. Your commitment and the work you have put in are real, and they matter. This is not flattery. It is accuracy. Skipping it sends a signal that the moment the business no longer needs something from a person, that person's contribution is erased. That is not the message you want to send. and it is not the truth. After the acknowledgement, make a clean transition. What I need to talk about is where things are heading, and I want to be honest with you about what I see. Step 3. Name the gap clearly and without blame. This is the step most leaders fumble. They circle the truth so many times the employee leaves the room not knowing what was actually said. Kindness is not vagueness. Real kindness is clarity delivered with care. Be direct about what has changed in the business and what the role now requires. Then be equally direct about where the gap sits. The way this team operates has shifted significantly. The role now requires specific skill or capability. From what I have seen, and from the conversations we have had, that is not where you're currently, and I think you know that too. That last phrase, "I think you know that too," matters. Most long-term employees who are struggling are not unaware of it. Acknowledging that they already sense the problem is a form of respect. It says, "I'm not ambushing you with a secret verdict. We are naming something that is already in the room." Notice what this step does not do. It does not question the person's character, their effort, or their loyalty. It names a gap in current skills against current requirements. Those are two entirely different things, and keeping them separate is what allows the conversation to remain constructive. For guidance on framing feedback around observable specifics rather than character, the SBI method reduces tension when giving corrective feedback in exactly this kind of situation. Step 4. Create space for their response. After you name the gap, stop talking. This is harder than it sounds. The silence will feel uncomfortable. Let it exist. Give the employee time to process what they've heard. Some will need a moment to gather themselves. Some will want to respond immediately. Some will push back, question your assessment, or feel the sting of what feels like rejection. All of those responses are legitimate. Your role in this moment is to listen, not to manage, not to correct, not to fill the silence with reassurance. Listen. Ask open questions if they go quiet. What is your honest reaction to what I have just said? Or is there something here you see differently? This step is where trust either holds or breaks. If the employee senses that their response is going to be immediately countered or talked over, the conversation becomes a monologue with an audience of one. Effective feedback as the backbone of workplace growth depends entirely on whether the other person feels genuinely heard, not just processed. Step 5. Present the options with equal honesty. Once the employee has had a real chance to respond, move to what is possible. This is where the conversation pivots from diagnosis to direction, and it is where you can restore a sense of agency to someone who may currently feel powerless. Be specific about what each option involves. Vague offers of support or development opportunities feel patronizing when someone is absorbing difficult news. They need to know what is real. There are a few directions we could explore together. One is a structured development plan with specific targets and a realistic timeline. Another is a conversation about whether there is a different role in the business that better fits where you are. I want to be honest, a managed exit with a proper package and strong references is also an option if that feels right to you. None of these are off the table, but I need you to be part of choosing. Giving the employee genuine choice is not weakness on your part. It is a thing that allows them to retain dignity in a situation where they might otherwise feel only loss. For building that kind of joint understanding, the core framework helps you stay grounded during a tense workplace conversation and is worth having in your back pocket before this discussion. Step 6. Close with a clear next step and a firm date. Do not end the meeting with "let's see how things go." That is not a plan. It is a postponement, and the employee will leave uncertain and anxious. Name a specific next step and a specific date. "I would like us to meet again by Thursday of next week. Between now and then, I want you to think about which of those options you want to explore. I will do the same from my side, and we will come back together with something concrete." This close does two things. It gives the employee a defined task, which replaces helplessness with agency. And it communicates that this is not the end of a relationship, but the beginning of a more honest chapter of it. When the employee has been there longer than you have. One specific variation of this conversation deserves its own treatment when the person you are speaking to has been with the organization far longer than you have been in your role. This situation adds a layer of complexity. The employee may see you as less qualified to assess the contribution. They may feel the judgment is illegitimate because you did not witness the years that built their reputation. They may be right, in part. The approach here is to lead with curiosity before you lead with assessment. Before the meeting, speak with others who have a longer view. In the conversation itself, acknowledge acknowledge the limitation directly. I want to be clear that I'm working with a shorter window than you have. That is why I want to hear your perspective as much as share mine. Then anchor your observations in specific, current, observable evidence rather than general performance history. You are not assessing their career. You are naming what the role requires today and what you have observed about the current gap. Keeping the boundary firm protects both of you from a conversation that becomes a debate about history rather than a discussion about the present. Where these conversations most often go wrong. Three patterns come up repeatedly when this kind of difficult conversation fails. Each one has a clear correction, the mistake, softening the message so much that the employee does not understand the seriousness of the situation. Why it happens. The manager wants to be kind and fears causing pain. What to do instead? Separate tone from content. You can be warm and still be unambiguous. Compassionate delivery does not require a diluted message. If the employee leaves the room thinking it was a bit of a chat, you have failed them. The mistake. Presenting the conversation as a done decision with no real options. Why it happens. The manager has already decided the outcome and is informing rather than discussing. What to do instead. If a formal process is already underway, say so clearly and early. But if genuine options exist, present them as real, not performative. Employees know the difference. Advanced feedback techniques for high-stakes conversations covers exactly how to navigate this tension between honesty and genuine openness. The mistake, having this conversation once and then leaving the employee in silence. Why it happens. The manager feels relieved after saying the hard thing and assumes the work is done. What to do instead? A single conversation is the beginning of a process, not the end of one. The follow-up meetings matter as much as the first. Without them, the employee feels abandoned. The relationship you are trying to preserve will wither without consistent, honest contact after this conversation. When trust has genuinely fractured because of delayed honesty, the bridge method rebuilds working relationships after tension has created a breakdown and is worth knowing before you reach that point. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Your pre-conversation checklist. Use this before any difficult conversation with a long-term employee about a skills gap. Every no is a sign you are not yet ready. Number 1. Can you name the specific skills gap clearly in one or two sentences without referring to character? Number 2. Do you know what has changed in the business or role that created this gap? Number 3. Have you identified at least two genuine options you can offer the employee? Number 4. Have you chosen a private space with no interruptions and at least 45 minutes allocated? Number 5. Do you know how you will open the conversation without small talk or ambush? Number 6. Are you prepared to listen without immediately countering their response? Number 7. Have you identified a clear next step and date before you go into the room? Number 8. Are you going into this conversation out of respect, not frustration or obligation? If you can answer yes to all 8, you are ready. If not, take the time to get there. A half-prepared conversation does more harm than a well-prepared one does good. Finishing the conversation is not finishing the work. The meeting is over. You said the hard thing. The employee heard it. What happens next determines whether this becomes a turning point or a wound. Send a short written summary within 24 hours what was discussed, what options were named, and what the next meeting date is. This is not bureaucracy. It is care. It prevents misremembering, and it signals that you take the conversation seriously enough to document it. Check in informally before the next formal meeting. A 2-minute conversation in the corridor, a brief message, a simple how are you sitting with things. These small contacts communicate that you have not retreated, that you're still in relationship with this person even in a difficult season. If you sense the employee is struggling emotionally, name it directly without making it awkward. I imagine this has been a hard few days to sit with. That is completely understandable. You do not need to have all the answers. You just need to stay present. The skills that make someone a leader worth trusting are most visible not in the good conversations, but in these ones. For staying steady when tension builds across a team. How to resolve conflicts without losing your leadership voice. And how to diffuse tension between colleagues who refuse to cooperate are both worth having close at hand as you navigate what follows. A difficult conversation employee situation handled with courage and preparation does not have to end a relationship. In my experience, it can deepen one. The people who remember you well are not always the ones you promoted. Sometimes they are the ones you were honest with when honesty cost you something. Frequently asked questions. What is a difficult conversation employee situation? A difficult conversation employee situation occurs when a manager must address something sensitive or uncomfortable with a staff member, such as a skills gap, performance decline, or role mismatch. These conversations require honesty, preparation, and genuine care to be productive rather than damaging. How do you start a difficult conversation with a long-term employee? Start by acknowledging the person's history and contribution before raising the concern. Name the specific gap clearly and without blame. Give them space to respond before moving to next steps. Preparation and a calm, private setting matter enormously. How do you tell an employee their skills no longer meet business needs? Be direct and specific about what has changed in the business and what the current role now requires. Separate the gap from the person's character or loyalty. Then move immediately to what support or options exist, so the conversation does not end on a closed door. What should you never say in a difficult conversation about performance? Avoid phrases that generalize character, such as "you've always struggled with this" or "everyone has noticed." Never raise the issue in public or alongside other grievances. Vague feedback like "you need to step up" without specifics gives the person nothing to act on. How do you have a difficult conversation employee review without damaging trust? Trust survives honest conversations when the employee feels respected throughout. Prepare your facts. Choose a private setting. Acknowledge their contribution. Be specific about the gap. And offer a clear path forward. What damages trust is avoidance, surprise, or conversations that feel like an ambush. How long should a difficult conversation with an employee last? Most difficult conversations need between 30 and 60 minutes. Shorter than that, and you risk feeling rushed, which communicates a topic is not worth your full attention. Longer than 90 minutes, and the emotional weight becomes counterproductive. One clear meeting, fully prepared, is far better than several vague ones. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.